Welcome back to the Inclusive Activism Podcast. This is your host, Rowdy Duncan, and I have for you part two of my interview with Eric Tanchez from Anytown. We're going to go over a little bit more of his backstory, a little bit more about Anytown, how all those things kind of came together. A lot of interesting things come up in our conversation, so I can't wait for you to listen and hear some more. So as always, if this podcast has made you think, or if you have some ideas that you want to share, please feel free to email us at inclusiveactivism@cox.net. That's inclusiveactivism@cox.net. And as always, we would love to hear from you on the voicemail line. That phone number is 860-576-9393. 860-576-9393. Leave us a voicemail there and we will respond to your message in real time. And please, if you can, remember to rate and review us. Give us those 5-star ratings. It makes the podcast a lot more visible. That's your way of being a part of this inclusive activism movement, and I really, really appreciate that. It also helps us justify some of our numbers for potential advertisements, but we really need those things. Those likes, those reviews, those shares, those subscribes all make a huge difference. So without any further ado, let's get back to the interview with Eric. Thank you.
So let's go back to 2004.
Yeah.
When I just went to Anytown. Anytown, like any other leadership program, we include the board breaking experience, mm-hmm. of talking about empowerment. And on the board, you write your goals and your obstacles. And mm-hmm. my obstacles was the 14 was to be in charge of a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And I think in the realization, I was like, God, how it feels to like check off one of your like.
Yeah, your 14-year-old dream.
Long.
Yeah. How old are you now?
I'm 26.
26. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Like, 12 years later, here you are. You know?
I mean,
you know, you're still at that place where it's not, like, what puts dinner on the table yet. But,
right.
But you're doing the work, you know?
Right.
And I don't see you being in a space. If you continue along the line that you're at, I have every confidence that you'll find yourself within the next year,
right,
and a half.
You know, and I had to really like think about it too.
Like,
okay, Eric, you're done with college, you're somewhat done with grad school, you know, but you're not there, you keep going off and on, you know, with it, because I'm still struggling like with grad school, like,
yeah,
I'm still struggling like just trying to complete it, you know, and taking semesters off and things like that. But
that's so cool that you say something about that.
Yeah.
You know, in today's look good society, people don't talk about like, yeah, I do it and then I don't do it and then, you know, this becomes a priority or mm-hmm. that thing's happening.
Right. And so like, I mean, I think where I'm at, socioeconomically where I'm at right now,
mm-hmm.
I have to work where I'm at
right.
now. And like, I'm almost stuck there almost, you know? And I going into social work, I know that I wasn't going to make a lot of money in
right.
In the work of social justice, I know I'm not going to make a lot of money into
right.
it.
Yeah.
I've made and set still that idea a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to do it. It's not make me happy, but I want to move to New York still. You know,
yeah.
I thought about all the stuff that I have to put off now, probably for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to move there. I still want to work in the criminal justice system,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I'm very passionate about mass incarceration.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta watch 13th.
Yes, 13th is amazing.
Yeah, so.
Well, and two, I'm hoping to have Heather Hamill, you were there as a table facilitator
uh-huh.
on the podcast at some time, too, but I'd like to see her try to find time to get to an Anytown.
Right.
That happy, you know, because uh-huh. when you report on the problem, man, that's hard.
Yeah, no. I think
so. Being in those spaces, I think would be good for
you know. If there's anything I can be like disappointed about this election,
yeah.
like again, why weren't we talking about mass incarceration? You know,
yeah.
and the police work that
yeah.
our men are doing, and
yeah.
we really need a reform in our police business and
mm-hmm.
and also our prison system.
Well, that's a nice
yeah.
thing with like Anytown too, because knowing Harriet, knowing Charlie, the fact that there's, you know, you have people that get it that are still in the system that are doing everything they can to do it right.
Right.
And that they're part of this is awesome.
Yeah. You know? So, you know, when I got my BSW, my focus was in the criminal area.
Yeah.
And so I do want to become a probation officer for the juvenile facility. Like,
yeah.
I want to still do that work. I mean, realizing that in the humanity of this slavery system that we have is that we don't have culturally competent mental health workers in there. Yeah. You have probation officers that just don't come a place of privilege and are not understanding like what's really going on.
Right.
You know.
What are they actually experiencing?
Right. And so I still want to do that, and like I still want to shoot for like reform in the prison for like queer people and trans people.
Yes.
In the prison system, just because, I mean,
yeah,
either you get the shit kicked out of you or you die.
Serially raped. Yes.
Yeah. But not only that too, we need to talk about the rehabilitation of our people in there. Like they go in there one way and
come
out worse than before. And so those are still things that my goals and myself that are on my board. I just did it at Collegetown through that, and I was just like, I need to be involved more in like my criminal justice activity, like in that realm area. Like there's only thing, like I said, I could be disappointed in this election this past year is like we did not talk about mass incarceration. We did not talk about,
well, we did about the law and order.
Yeah,
that everyone should do that. That wasn't something I was really thrilled to hear about. But I mean, you know, I think there's an avenue to talk to all people with that stuff.
Right.
You know, it's kind of the stuff that Heather says, right?
Prison pipeline.
Well, and the other part of that too is, what are you about? Are you about, do you want to be about punishment or do you want to be about crime prevention?
Right.
Because right now we're just about punishment and we really don't care about crime with the outcomes we see.
Well, even also to prevention too, it's like, even that has a negative connotation with me. It's like, how do you tell black men to act around police officers?
Yeah.
How do you tell Latino men and women like not to do certain things, you know, around like even that and that conversation too, like that kind of that
when I said prevention, I was more thinking folks that
the system,
right? So if you go through the system, have you gotten skills? Do you have the ability to have a trade? Can you be productive?
Yeah.
So not just not getting in trouble, like how do you help someone not have to go back?
Right.
Because right now we set them and they leave and we put them in a situation where there's not a lot of choices but to go back. You can't even potentially leave America to go to a place where this doesn't happen to you, you know, like where, you know, different countries do this, you know.
Yeah,
they focus on it's an R word and I can't remember, like it's they're trying to focus on getting people not to come back,
right?
The goal is, I want to give you a trade, I want to give you a skill, I'd like to see you
rehabilitation
specifically. But we don't do that. Instead, the punishment continues, there's no options, you can't vote, you have to check the box, you can't get a job, you don't have a trade.
By the way, I took that off the Anytown application.
That's great. That's good to hear.
I was like, nope.
Yeah. Well, again, right, that's a marginalized group that we need to hear from that that is getting undue punishment and undue oppression.
Right. It was like, have we been convicted of a crime? I'm like, no, we're taking that off the application.
Right.
That's very problematic.
Right. Well, the other part of it, too, is like, you know, as far as I understand it, there's not a huge, like, deluge of, like, you know, criminals that are trying to go do, like, hundreds of hours of service at any town, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that we're creating a barrier for a problem that doesn't exist. It's just ridiculous. So, I'm glad to see you're doing that type of thing.
Right. So, yeah, now I'm executive director.
Yeah.
It's been freaking hard.
Yes. I've noticed it's been hard.
It is super hard. I think, well, number one, it's just finding commitment. Like, I have to, like, give myself a talk every week. All right, you have to get this done.
Yeah.
You need to not call out, but, like, you need to, like, I'm still trying to find ways to keep my board accountable.
Yeah.
For the work that needs to get done. Planning the camp is hard.
Yeah.
And I'm doing two camps this summer.
I know.
We're expected to have 80 at each camp. I mean, it's around 60 to 80 at each camp, you know? And then on top of that, I have to find board directors. I'm having a complex over here because we've been under, I think it's been expected for the last year that Sandy's going to just do camp, you know? now we have an opportunity to change, and I'm still trying to envision what that change looks like. As I was creating the application for the director, I was like, oh crap, I need to create a pre-camp director, I need a performing camp director responsibilities, and the post-camp. I need to have all that stuff ready for them. And
yeah, well too, even with the post, right? Like, yeah, you want to see your directors come back and kind of mentor the new ones or whoever's coming back,
right? You know, and so do I include directors and training in this, you right. know? There's a lot, like the people who have volunteered for the last 3 years, mm-hmm. like I see some potential directors in them.
Yeah,
I still, like, I don't know if like people are willing to come back and be directors this summer. And so, you know, one of the struggling, growing pains that we're having was how we pick directors and how we pick staff in the summertime.
Yeah.
And, you know, and my focus was to be unbiased as much as I can.
Right.
With it. And so I finally got a resolution to that.
Yeah.
So we, obviously the old model, mm-hmm. the directors, mm-hmm. or for myself, yeah. like as a director, I should always assume that I should pick everything for myself. I'm like, right. no, we're a collective board
yep.
who votes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit there and say we have a voting process on there. Yeah. I'm not just going to go assert my power
mm-hmm.
and just like pick people.
And and I think you see what had to be done before, right? Uh-huh. You know, you see the reason that it worked the way that it did.
Yeah.
You know, because like sometimes you're just picking board members because like, well, you will, you know? And with the accountability stuff that I see you struggling with now, it's hard because, I mean, I know where you're at. I mean, even with what you have, you're still doing so much more than uh-huh. I do.
Yeah.
But the favor I try to do with you is I try to be very clear. I'll do this, but I won't do that.
Yeah.
You know? But I also see, you know, with folks that you're working with, it's hard to say
right.
that. And especially when you love something so much.
Right.
I think it's a little bit easier for where I happen to be
yeah.
right now. And then I'm not saying I'm like above, right? It's just yeah. like I've been through the shit of my experiences that now I can be here.
Yeah.
But maybe that's one of those things that can help you too, is just we be in a space where be like, look, if it's a no, just say no.
Yeah.
But if it's a yes, then you gotta do your yes. You know, that I need your yes.
Yeah.
But like, no is fine too. Just don't be in your quasi, I don't know space.
Yeah,
it's hard.
I even in my position,
oh, yeah, yeah.
like
I hear you struggling with it.
I with maybe I don't know. Those are like I just want to like cut you off. Like no, nope.
Well, I don't know though.
Yeah,
then that's okay, right?
Right.
Just if you're gonna tell me I don't know,
yeah.
or if you have to say maybe, I'll just go with no. You know, and yeah. it's not personal. I love you still.
Oh yeah, if I respect no, yeah. if you tell me yes,
yeah.
and you're not gonna do it, you
yeah.
know,
yeah, it's way worse.
If you say no, I will either do it myself or
yeah.
I will find someone who's going to have the time.
Yeah. But the people yeah. aren't used to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're in the year of slow down to speed up, you know? And, like, you have to slow down to tell people this is how you do that stuff so you have the ability to do it. What's cool, though, is, like, your board's in that process.
Right.
You know? Other places and people with your boards, like, you know, it's just a conversation you have to have next time you get together.
Right.
Because we can get so busy doing that we don't spend any time being.
Right.
And there's never been a focus on being.
Yeah.
So. But you're doing it.
Yeah.
It's
so,
just not as fast as
yeah, you. So this is where I'm at right now.
That's good.
Any town is doing two camps in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need a committee of people to select the directors, mm-hmm. and we're going to need a committee of people with the directors to select staff in the mm-hmm. summer. That committee consists of I'm a board member, two past staff people, and mm-hmm. a community member who's mm-hmm. not been with any town.
Yeah.
But also with, like, the selecting staff, like, helping the directors choose. Like, even having that conversation with directors, like, I don't believe that directors should have a full say, you know, in picking their staff because mm-hmm. we're a diversity program. And mm-hmm. what you get is what you need to work with for eight
right.
days.
Yeah. That's diversity.
That's diversity.
Yeah.
And... But
well, that's the magic
why.
Of getting to be a director, right?
Right.
It's like all these random people with all these different instruments show up, make them a band.
Right.
You know,
no,
perform.
it really is. And so, if I have to say like what Any Town is, like,
yeah.
to people who are listening to this, it's
mm-hmm.
Any Town is a social justice organization
mm-hmm.
that focuses on diversity, culture, leadership. We have those uncomfortable conversations with.
Mm-hmm.
high school age students, 15 to 19, 18 to 19, are still somewhat high school age, you know.
Yeah.
But really talking about what's going on in society, you know, and how we can't be complacent anymore, even at that age too as well, and having those conversations with those students. And we do that through a lot of experiential programming, program that talks about privilege, racism, prejudice, all kinds of isms. You can think of all kinds of phobias, and we take it to the extreme with them. It's a week-long program with students that test your emotional ability, that tests your ideas, you know, but also trying to find a common ground with someone who's different with you when it comes to it in the end. And where I'm at also too is that I'm looking for alumni. If any people who've been to any town, if any, I would say from 1960 to 2008, who would love to get involved again, volunteer their time, help with any of the processes, come, like we're going to have a car wash pretty soon to help fundraise. Any of those things to like invite people back, I encourage you to look on our website at anytownleadershipcamp.org, where there's an alumni form to fill out, you know, because that's where I want to focus on is like trying to find our alumni.
Well, you're in that space where it's time to come back home. You know? There's been a lot of things like good, bad, ugly that happens. I mean, good, bad, and ugly is life, right?
Yeah.
But when a good thing and good people call you home, it's time to get over those things and come home.
Right.
Because right now is the time of opportunity. And so, you know, it's time for the people in that situation to peek back in and see what's going on,
right?
Because if it was this or it was to this or whatever, you can't just sit at home and wish it was different,
right?
It's you got to be there and like be part of the process of making it what you'd hope it would become,
right?
And if their voice and help's not there, it'll always be short their additions,
yeah.
So
and also too,
so I hope they come see you.
And also too, asking people for money, like
That's part of the process.
You know, I think about my board and the majority of them are professionals and stuff like that. You know, coming as a, I'm a working class person. I'm not a middle class person, you know, and not having those connections of where big money comes from.
Right.
That's a very issue that I'm dealing with right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's an expectation for me.
Yeah.
And so if people are willing to donate to any town, keep in mind the perks of it is getting a tax donation at the end of the year.
Of course, yeah.
And things like that. Or just even like $20, $30. Or covering one delegate. Delegate's cost is $425.
Mm-hmm.
7 days, transportation, food, supplies for the delegate. I gotta compare it to any other camp program, like that's the cheapest for a 7 day program, and they get everything they need. I looked online at other anytown programs in North Carolina.
Yeah,
the program is $1,000.
Well, yeah, obviously they're doing more than just covering in that space,
right? And so,
well, and I think what's cool about what I'm seeing with y'all, like one of the things that it made me uncomfortable, like back when I first experienced stuff, and it was just a model, right? It's not like there was anything wrong with it. It's just like it's the way you had to exist. Is there was like a real sense of trying to capitalize on the experience of the delegates and having them like call and try to do the fundraising stuff, which is hard, right? Because you're 18 and you're trying to figure out who you are.
Right.
Now you're on the phone being like, hey, can you donate to this thing? And you've evolved too. Like, you know, I had no idea about the Amazon thing where you can like spell the Amazon.com
for any town.
Put it in there. You know, Amazon, I use at work, I use here. And like, you know, it's not like any extra thing, right? It's just part of what's there. So,
I mean, yeah, some of the attitudes I'm dealing with right now, even if it's for the smallest amount, it's like, is that's it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, but
my pool of people are college students.
Yeah.
My pool of people who are just getting into the workforce.
Right.
Or they, I think about the people who I went to high school with, like saw Adam on Facebook.
Yeah.
But they didn't go to school and they have kids and either they have only one source of income going in their house. And it's like, how am I going to sit here and ask college students for money? You know?
Well, but I try to reframe it a little bit too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Christian and so part of my tithing process, it's hard for me to find a church that really jives with all the things I truly believe in as far as going to a physical space. So like I listen to podcasts. There's a church in Harlem that I really love, Open and Affirming. like Baptist church, which is like, because I kind of have like that spirity thing with me.
Right.
It's the way I operate. And then there's another church in San Diego, again, open and affirming. And they're just becoming like some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But in my tithe, I don't just do churches, right? In my worldview, God's work is done everywhere. And, you know, maybe rethinking your tithe as a thing that, especially if you don't have one place that you go to, you know, putting that part of your income towards something like this.
Right.
So is something that's really important. And again, you don't have money. You shop on Amazon. Right. Right? Just the smile on Amazon it.
Right.
And that makes a big difference too. But, you know, I the fact that you have and know some of the folks that you know, I think will help. As soon as the board gets ironed out, I know there's one of my friends in particular that I'm really hoping will serve on there.
Oh, yeah.
But, sure. You know, I know you need it with Dave. Because that guy is one of the most connected people of all time. Sorry, it's Titties is trying to call on people's laps again. But I think he would be just an excellent addition. I think his heart's totally in it.
And oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's as I think about the board, like, if I do get established one day.
Yeah.
Versus what like the actual job is gonna look like and what the board is gonna look like. I think about Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, one of those people on the board, like the board just consisting of people who know where the money's at, you know.
Well, he's just so connected. Yeah. Did you get to go to his
party? I didn't.
Oh, but just seeing like who was there.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was funny. I was telling Dave and his partner, and I say Dave because I know I can say Dave. I'm not sure if I can say his partner's name, but like. They're like my fairy godfathers, you know? They were offering tickets to Dirty Dancing last night.
Oh,
we couldn't
wow.
go to it because Michelle was doing some service. But, and like they offer their cabin to us. Just, I mean, but that's who he is.
Yeah.
You know? And like, just great folks. But again, without the Anytown experience, I never would have met Dave. He lives in South Mountain. I don't get to South Mountain.
Right.
Anywhere near as often as I could / should. It's a pretty amazing experience. And two, again, right? Say you had some experience with Anytown. Doesn't mean you can't help support. Because you know at the end of the day, the kids that go to the camp are going to get a really valuable experience.
Right.
So it's not something you can do with time. Because, you know, right? You either have time or money. You usually don't have time and money. There's a few people that have time and money, but I don't know those people.
I don't either.
Sandy, we're hoping to meet them.
Sandy probably does.
Oh, Sandy definitely does. But those folks, we know we need them involved because there's something, it's like your story, you know? As identity raises, you can either learn to confirm the identity of others and just be an open and giving person.
Right.
Or you'll do what you normally see with bullying, you know? Because when you see an identity raising in someone else and that's not you, there is a tendency to squash it because it's not who you are and people can see that as a threat.
Right.
So, I mean, I think if there was more town-type validating programs that existed out there, I think you'd see some amazing stuff. But I also just heard you were stopping by a middle school doing some work.
Oh, yeah. So, my world has been turned upside down.
Yeah.
So here in Phoenix, or I don't know, it was on the borderline of Paradise Valley.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was on 40th Street in Stanford. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
But the Phoenix Country Day School, shout out to Dwayne and Allie and all the people and Molly that are doing the good work on their campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just were contracted to do any town work with their program. And they've had their town program, but it's been...
Yeah.
You know,
it
like,
hasn't been connected.
It hasn't been connected, and I think what helps them with interaction is that they get outside people.
Right.
It's a K-12 school that's an independent private.
Mm-hmm.
I still try to figure out how they get state aid, too.
Vouchers.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
But these kids have it made at that school. But you know what? What I appreciate is the high level of the thinking that the kids are having at this campus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a lot of critical thinking,
mm-hmm.
a lot of independent studies. Like, let's focus on these. Like, you're taking an English class. It's not sitting in class and learn about a persuasive essay.
Mm-hmm.
That should be done in the first week.
Right.
Like, no, you need to do service projects in this class and write about it. Your research that you find, you know, stuff that you find during an English 101 and 102 in college.
Yeah.
But first we did a Unitown program that was at the high school.
You know,
it was about 30 kids.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, I think it's easier to explain privilege to high school students versus to college students. Just because you're, you know, they don't think about these things, but obviously on their campus, there's a lot of privilege that goes on. You have the students that are getting the scholarship that's by need, or the kids who are, the parents are able to pay the full tuition amount of their school.
Yeah.
So this school is like 25 acres, and I'm talking about, like, they ask me, do I want tea, soda? Do I have coffee? What is it? Like, do you want, like, hazelnut coffee? Like, they gave me choices.
Yeah, that's nice.
Like, talk about, like, if you're giving me a choice, that you guys...
Yeah, privilege. Yeah. That's the privilege of choice.
And so, even though the train we were in, we were in an art gallery.
Well, and the other thing that happens, too, is if you don't take that student outside of that bubbled experience...
Right.
Because, I mean, yes, of course they have the up-need students. But of course, that's also not like a substantial, a substantial portion of that population.
Right.
They're going to be deficient, and they don't really know how to interact with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to see that they think forward enough to bring y'all in.
Yeah. So we talked about privilege. We talk here at Anytime. We do a program called the Six Levels of Prejudice, and how prejudice manifests and. Different ways. You know, we did like a smaller version of that. We didn't do like a skit type program.
Right.
We, it's like move to the room, like what you see that's happening here on campus.
Identify.
It was a lot of good conversations, and it was actually one of the counselors that were volunteering for this challenged a lot of the things that we were saying. I appreciate the challenge and everything. He talked about combating the very issues, and he thinking that we should combat genocide at first, then work our way down.
Yeah.
And it was fun talking about that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a good conversation because he was pissed off and he walked out of the room.
Yeah.
And he wanted to, like, no, we should, you should combat it at the...
The worst.
The worst. And I was like, no, like, we should start from the bottom or...
Right, yeah.
If it's at the middle, we could start there too, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the different levels, preconditioning... You know, you avoid it, you verbalize it, it becomes violent, there's discrimination, and then ultimately when you have prejudice lead to that final level, you see genocide, you know.
Well, and I'm sure you're not saying that we shouldn't be against genocide, but it's also hard as you and I to be in a space where we can physically stop genocide.
Right, for sure. Like, well,
In our day-to-day life, we can do it at the low level, but at the macro level, it's impossible.
You know, after Orlando, I think about being in the gay club. Like, do I act and try to stop the perpetrator that's happening at the club, you know, now? Or do I run and let people die? Like, something, like, of course, like, I think about that stuff all the time, but... I think if we can have those conversations when it's starting at the preconditioning level, or if it's at the avoidance level, like, why are you avoiding these people? Or, like, why are you verbalizing your racism and, you know, your hate towards these people? Or, like, I even look at my job at Maricopa Community Colleges, like, the discrimination that I see in the hiring process, I can even stop it there, too, as well.
Right.
So...
Yeah, there's always work to do.
Right.
There's and never so, a lack of need.
Emphasizing, yes, you could do that genocide, but I don't think that should be the starting point, you know.
Well, or at the very least, you know, why don't you do both?
Yeah, you know.
If you can do the low level and genocide.
Right, and if I can stop someone... at the small level from reaching genocide, I think we are doing the work. And so there was a lot of that conversation, you know.
Well, it's good stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's not just because you don't see eye to eye immediately or that there's not immediately a consensus, you're better from the conversation.
We did privilege. We did the privilege line. And it was a good dynamic to see. Like, there was definitely people in the back, you know. And there's obviously people in the front, you know, in that. And we had a good friend of mine, Jill, if you remember, did a really, really great job of explaining privilege and understanding, even come the long line of talking about white privilege in that space too, you know, and what it means to be white in society and, you know, being if you're white, you're able to pull back, you know, and social issues and
the ability to retreat
and stuff like that. And she clearly told the students, hey, y'all need to, like, stop what you're doing right now. And you need to start reaching out to people who need help, you know? You have that power, you have that privilege to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So, kudos to her, because that's a very hard discussion to have.
Yeah.
And so, but, so PCDS is where it's made at.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably sold on probably sending my kids one day to
a good to hear.
Maybe public school. I'm still trying to decide, you know.
Yeah, ideally we can find like a half and half type thing or something like that.
Right.
But, yeah, I just wanted to let folks know that you're out there and kind of doing the work.
Right. I just actually did a mini, so I did an Empower Town. I like to talk about these town programs that we all have.
Yeah, right.
But it's a one-day program where we focus on certain issues and things like that. It doesn't go very deep.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it still hits home to mm-hmm. a lot of students. But we worked with their middle school. And I'm still trying to find a happy place with middle school.
Yeah.
You'll
develop it. It just takes your time.
It takes time. And, like, working with middle school kids, like, to think about the age you're in right there.
Yeah.
It is awkward to be 13, 14 yep. years old. And then having...
Nobody's happy in middle school.
And having for us to go in there and say, hey, put trust in the person next to you. Touch their shoulders.
Yes.
Or...
when you're like, this person hit me yesterday. Or 5 minutes ago.
Right. Yeah. You know? Or, you know, just like I said, like, let's do, like I said, a trust activity. You know, like, we get in the circle, everyone hits heel to heel, and then everyone should trust each other into sitting in each other's laps.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that took, it's a 20-minute activity that took 45 minutes.
I believe that. Yeah.
And so, it was just a lot of, like, hey, can y'all stop talking?
Yeah.
I guess that didn't really, like... bother me as much, but that's something that I noticed. Like, I had to constantly tell kids, hey, y'all need to be quiet and stuff like that. However, I had a really good friend with me, Harriet, and she does not sugarcoat anything, and so we did the line of understanding. You know, it's close to like the identity walk almost, and stuff like that. And there were certain jokes, not jokes, but like questions that said, like, if you ever said a racist, sexist, or a homophobic joke, and all of them walk across the room, and then suffers a few people, and she's all, y'all should be ashamed of yourselves, like, like, you know, you thinking it's okay, and just really, like, not telling them, like, you find this okay, you know, and then I had the last question, if you feel like you're loved, you know, and then there was two people that, and she's all, like, we need to give thanks to these courageous people who
can... publicly out themselves as, like, unloved.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, it was a really good job. Like I said, it's... We found a community there.
Yeah.
And they're going to want to continue contracting us every year. They're going to actually have us do their freshman orientation.
Great.
Doing their diversity work with all... I think there's 300...
Yeah.
Freshmen.
Yeah. No, but, I mean, that's really good. And, you know, it's prevention stuff, right?
Right.
How do you keep... the problems from happening in the first place. And it's not popular, but, you know.
Right.
I've heard a great line, and it was one of my favorite leadership books. For every person, people are trying to basically hack at the tree of problems, right? There's one person hacking at the roots, while 10 people hack at the symptoms, at the leaves.
Right.
You know? And it's just that frustrating notion of that there's not people trying to really uproot the tree of problem, rather than just, like, bat away the leaves that are the symptoms of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to change that thinking. We're not raised that way.
Right.
And that was part two of our interview with Eric Tanchez from Anytown. Really, really appreciate him getting into that detail, talking about some really, really personal experiences. I can tell you, just coming back from the Anytown program just last week, I still got my little happy-hearted buzz going, which is really nice, and I appreciate that. So again, if this made you think something and you want to respond to that, please feel free to do so. That phone number that you can get a hold of us at is 860-576-9393. Also, please remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your pod server of choice. And a rate and review goes a long way to make a huge difference for us in becoming more visible and more relevant. So thank you for that, and we will get back at you next week with part three of the interview with Eric Tanchez. We'll be right back.